Good afternoon. You can talk back. That's awesome. Make me feel good. Welcome to the celebration of a life. We're here to honor a mom, a sister, a grandma, a great-grandma, an aunt, and a friend. And her name is Nancy. And I speak of her in the present tense because the soul once born never dies. And each of us gets to choose where we spend eternity. And this body of our humble state, as the Bible describes the human body, goes back to the earth through creation or burial. But our soul at physical death makes a passage into the hands of our Creator. It's the passage all of us will make one day. And it's a pleasure, an extreme pleasure, that you've invited me to accompany you through some of the recollections of your fondest memories of Nancy. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and I'm the pastor of Barah Ministries, which is a Christian church that makes a difference worldwide on the internet and makes a difference locally in the Gilbert, Mesa, and Chandler, Arizona communities. We teach the Word of God from God's perspective and not from man's perspective. And at Barah Ministries, we worship the sovereign God of the universe, the one and only God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 says this, I am the Lord, God the Son, and there is no other. Beside me, there is no God. I will gird you even though you have not known me. Isaiah 45, 6, so that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 7, I am the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and allowing calamity. That means the Lord is the source. The Lord is the one who's in complete control of the universe. I am the Lord who does all these. Well, let's begin the memorial service with a song. This is written and sung by Barah Ministries song worship leader, June Murphy, and oddly enough, the only time she's ever sung this song is the recording you're about to hear because it's about her sister, and she hasn't been able to bring herself to sing it in public yet. But it's our hope for all of our loved ones who have transitioned to the next phase of life. The song is entitled, Going Home to Be with Jesus.
We shared lots of secrets. We were close friends. Life wasn't perfect. At times we'd pretend. Then childhood ended. She moved away. Started a family. And then one day she wasn't afraid. She had peace with going home, going home to be with Jesus, going home where there's no suffering, going home to no more sorrow. I'll see her again. I still remember her words to me. She had such a strong faith. It strengthened me. She knew what happened, passed through God's hand. He'd work it for good. He has a plan. I was hurt and angry. Why does she have to go? She had a family, kids to watch grow. She melted my anger, and I came to know God showed us some mercy in calling her home, going home to be with Jesus. She went home, and she's not suffering. She went home to no more sorrow, no more pain. She went home, and I'll see her again. Absent from the body, with the Lord face to face. Same place I'll be at the end of my race. I'm going home to be with Jesus. I'm going home to no more suffering. Going home to no more sorrow. See her again. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Going home to no more suffering. Going home to no more sorrow, no more pain. In God's time, and I'll see them all again. I'm going home where I'll see them all again.
Your wife can feel free to express her enthusiasm, by the way. She said, I like that song. I like that song, too. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for bringing us together to remember. Thank you for bringing Nancy into your care. Thank you for the unconditional love and grace and forgiveness you have for all of your creatures. Heal our grieving hearts today, Father, and give us the strength to carry on without Nancy and pass along the love that we all send her way today. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Say it with me. Amen. A little louder. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So this memorial service is for Nancy, and I just want you to know that I met her on August 10th, 2018, the last day of her life on Earth, at about 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon. It's a testament to how amazing God is that I would be a part of Nancy's life for that 1 hour. I got a chance to communicate the gospel message of salvation to her one last time before she transitioned into the next phase of her life. Nancy heard the message of salvation many times in her life. Unfortunately, God has an enemy. Satan, the enemy of God, does everything he can to make us either indifferent or antagonistic to God. Satan is the sponsor of religion, and as you probably know, Nancy has had a few ordeals with the Roman Catholic Church. When I was with Nancy, I prayed to God the Father that he would use God the Holy Spirit to make Nancy lucid for the time that I was there, so that she would hear the gospel message another time. And I'm confident that God the Holy Spirit did his job. God would not have brought me to her if he couldn't do his job. Nancy was peaceful during this time, breathing very easy, and I'm confident that she heard me. And even though I didn't know Nancy, from hearing about her, I think we would have hit it off immediately. We're both teachers. We both have a zest for adventure and for life. We both love our families. We both thought it was necessary to bring enriching experiences into the lives of those that we touch and who touched our lives. And of course, we both have a collection of skeletons in our closets that would spook anyone on Halloween. Now, I'm sure we would have had a lot to say to each other. I would have loved her cooking. We would have shared stories about the way we developed the mentalities of our children. And we would have laughed at all the mistakes that we made in life. I would not have taken any country trips with Nancy in her car, however, because I fly. That's that. But so no matter how good friends we were, I'm not getting in that Trans Am. Anyway, in the brief time we were together, Nancy reminded me of my mom, so being with her was a very emotional experience for me. I can remember like it was yesterday, the day my mother died. It was the evening of September 24th, 1998. We got the call around 6:30 p.m. Mom was gone, and she wasn't coming back. Loss doesn't describe the feeling, and I'm sure you know what I mean. Grief doesn't describe the feeling. Nothing really describes the feeling. At the moment of the loss of a loved one, our eyes seem to take on a laser-sharp focus. And as we look around, we see people operating as if nothing has happened. They're getting gas, they're driving, they're talking and laughing when our world has been completely shattered. There's nothing that can describe the feeling in a situation where the production of denial doesn't even serve us. This is reality. There's no hope for a different outcome. This is final. I cried so hard that day that I almost coughed up my liver, and I'm certain that you've shed many tears as well. Now, I can't even pretend to know how you feel right this minute. Most of us don't have enough practice with death, especially the death of loved ones, to know how to feel. I can tell you that there's nothing you could have ever done to prepare for the moment of Nancy's departure. We always think we're prepared, but it's always hard to be ready to say goodbye. There is nothing in this service that will provide what psychologists call closure. This is hard, and it's painful, and grief lasts a while. There's no getting back to normal. There will never be a normal for you again. There is no perfect time frame for grief. It took me 3 years to even grasp the idea that my mom was gone. All I know is that I'm here for you today and anytime you need it. In fact, let's be here for each other. Together, we can support each other in a way that reminds us that there actually are people in the world who know what we're going through and who feel for us. And I want to share God's perspective on what has happened to you and what it means. I hope it provides a calm and a comfort and a peace in your souls that surpasses comprehension. So the memorial service will have three parts. Part one, believe it or not, is for the living. And I'd like to share the biblical perspective concerning God's attitude toward you. Part two, you'll have time to share some memories. Your family has shared some Nancy stories with me, but I'm certain that I can't do them justice. So you'll have to do it. And speaking in public is the number one fear of human beings. Death is sixth on the list. So you may be reluctant to share, but don't be. We'll have a microphone here. You can just come up and be yourself. If you need me to, I'll stand here with you. And don't worry about how you look or sound. It should be obvious to you that I don't care how I look or sound. I'm bawling like a little baby because this is a really emotional thing for me. But we're with you. So when we get to that second part, just share your love for Nancy. And we want to hear what you have to say. And then finally, part three, we'll watch a video and we'll break bread together, which will give us an opportunity to remember how much Nancy means to us. So the opening moments of this memorial service are for the living, for anyone who doesn't have a personal relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want you to know that God wants you. And what he wants is for you to use every opportunity you get to make the most important decision of your life. Dealing with the loss of a loved one brings to focus the question, what is going to happen when I close my eyes in this life? You may wonder if there is an afterlife. And if there is an afterlife, how can you get to heaven, this heaven that you've heard about? Well, yes, there is another phase of life beyond this one. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 confirms it. It says it's appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the evaluation. Many people believe the answer to the question, how can I get to heaven, is to just be a good person. In fact, most people think they are, as they say, basically good people. For some, being good means not being bad. Here's what I've heard many people say over the years. I haven't murdered anyone. I don't steal. I don't curse. I don't lie. I'm not a drug addict. My conscience is clear because I'm not nearly as bad as the people I see on television or the people I read about in the newspapers. I'm just like everybody else, and I know everybody can't be going to hell. Well, when these people open a Bible, it obliterates their delusion. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all creatures have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, all in union with Adam at physical birth, and that's every human being on the planet, every human being who comes to earth, are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. That is not your fault, but it is your circumstance. And that's bad news. But the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ has an interesting attitude toward his creatures. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. But instead, he's patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any of you to perish in the lake of fire, but for all of you to come to a repentance, a change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 7 say this, Jesus told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 sheep in the open pasture and go after the one sheep which was lost until he finds it? Now, I don't know if you know anything about shepherds, but a shepherd would under no circumstance leave a sheep. So for a shepherd to leave the 99 sheep to go find the lost one, that's an amazing shepherd. That's my shepherd, my Lord. Wayne was telling me, he said to me a few minutes ago, you found Jesus. I said, no, Jesus found me, because I was lost. And we all are when we get here. But we have a chance to do something about it. Luke 15:5 says, and when the shepherd has found the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Luke 15:6, and when the man comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep which was lost. Luke 15:7, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner, over one unrighteous, ungodly unbeliever who repents, who changes his mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who believes in Christ, than over the 99 righteous persons, believers in Christ, who need no repentance. The Apostle John makes it clear the function of the Bible. This beautiful owner's manual of life. This owner's manual of life that was not written by men, but by men giving their opinions, but by men writing the exact thinking of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, he says this, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, the Bible. John 20:31, but these things written here have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God in human form, and that by believing in him, you may have the resurrection life in his name. So how can you get to heaven? Right where you sit right now, you can tell God the Father that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the moment of eternal life for you. It's as simple as a 9-word conversation. In the last minutes of his life, a thief being crucified next to Jesus was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." 9 simple words as he hung from a cross. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Luke 23:43, and Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Or if you prefer, it's a 5-word conversation with God the Father. "Father, I believe in Christ." Simply believe with nothing added, and that's the moment of eternal life for you. Now, once the immutable Lord saves you, a Lord who never changes things he does, no matter how hard you try, you cannot lose your salvation. John 10:28 says, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." John 14:2-3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if, for the sake of argument, it were not so, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." John 14:3. "And if I, the Lord Jesus Christ, go and prepare a place for you," and I do, "I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And that's our hope for Nancy, that she is home, face to face with the Lord, that she is in her mansion, in a place of no more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away, new things have come, a place exceeding and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Believing in Jesus Christ is your acknowledgement that you can't do a thing to get to heaven on your own. So you place your confidence in him to do what he promises to do to get you there. Romans 11:6 says, "If salvation is by grace," and of course it is, "it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." God's grace makes your salvation a free gift to you. And if you have to work for a gift, then it means you deserve the gift. In salvation, there's no way for you to impress God enough that he would allow you to save yourself. It's very wise to let God save you, because once he does something, he never changes his mind. Heed then the warning in John 3:36, which says, "He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life," right at that moment. "But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." John 3:17 says, "God the Father did not send God the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the Father sent the Son into the world that the world might be saved through him." And the Apostle Peter reminds us of the words of the Old Testament prophet Joel, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved." On July 6th, 2019, Nancy's ashes will be taken to their final resting place, a place that holds vivid memories for many of you, a return to the mountains, to South Fork, Colorado. And as we reflect on that moment that will come all too soon, let's listen to a song that is special to your family. "Go Rest on the Mountain." Go rest high on the mountain.
were no stranger to rain. So go rest high on that mountain, cause on your work on earth is done. Go to gathered round your grave to grieve. Wish I could see angels' faces when they hear your sweet voice say, so go rest high.
So part two of the memorial services, what do you remember about Nancy? So you get a chance to come up and say what you'd like to say. As you share what you remember about Nancy, let's remember the words of the late Senator Edward Kennedy as he eulogized his brother Robert F. Kennedy. Edward said, "My brother need not be idealized nor enlarged in death beyond what he was in life, but be remembered simply as a good and decent man." You know what families are like, right? We all know that families have ups and downs, and, you know, we make mistakes, and we're human. And we love each other, and in loving each other, we push each other and shove each other. That's what we do. But through all that struggle that we do together, it's just beautiful memories. And I know one of the things that is really helpful is when you get to say those things. So one thing that came through loud and clear as I listened to the family members talk about Nancy is that she is definitely a good and decent woman. And your deep sense of love for her is totally transparent. And so you want to make that transparent right now. Terry, Nancy's daughter, said, there was so much to learn from her, and I wish I could have learned more from her. I heard regret. She was a wonderful mother. She made things magical. And I'm so impressed how my parents were able to hold down a family from such a young age. Jim, Nancy's brother, said, we grew up in Colorado together. We were the only playmates each other had until we were 7, and then we lost touch for a time. But we love being in Colorado. We love being in the mountains together, and the mountains are home. It's like being in a church. And it was nice being together in the mountains with our kids. Glenora, Nancy's sister-in-law, said, we were in each other's lives. I've known her all my life. She was as close to a sister as anyone in my life. I adored her, and I loved her, and she loved us. These are the kind of things we want to hear about. Your fondest memories of the woman we remember today. So to get us ready, another song that's important to your family, which is I Feel Like Going On by the 5 Heartbeats.
I'd like to talk to you this evening. I'd like to talk to you about getting on when things are not going quite so well. Like this morning, I woke up. I was real depressed. But something told me, say, you gotta keep on keeping on.
All right, there we go. Is that it? Okay, good. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, as we bring to our memory our thoughts about Nancy, just give us a lot of peace and comfort as we share what we have to say. And let us bring forth all the love and the compassion that we have inside as we reflect on a person so important to our lives. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Jim, would you start us off?
Man.
Thanks.
For those that don't know me, not many of you, I'm Nancy's older brother, Jim. I've known her all my life, obviously. It's hard to summarize a lot with Nancy because we were so together for so many years, did so many things together. The last year for her was tough for all of us, and it was very difficult to watch her go downhill the way she did. And I knew last time she went in the hospital, I knew that this was close to the end because she's been fighting bad infection in her body for 8 months, and I knew it just wasn't going to go away. So as sad as it is to have her be gone, I'm glad she's in a better place, and I'm happy for her for that. Brenda and Dre, in particular, I have to commend you for everything you did for her in the last months. I know it was very difficult for you. I know Nancy could be really hard to get along with sometimes. I got very angry with her sometimes for you guys, but you hung in there, and God bless you for that. What else? Can't think of much else. I had a I was trying to think about something funny or humorous about Nancy, and I don't know, a lot of things are, but I somehow flashed back to time on the farm when we were pretty young, and I was into making model airplanes, and I've been working for a long time on this helicopter model that was made out of balsa wood, and you covered it with paper and everything, and hopefully it would fly. But I had just finished the whole balsa wood frame, and I was so proud of it, and I set it on the edge of my bed, and I was going to show Nancy, and she came in the room, and she sat down on my helicopter and just smashed it to pieces. So I just had to take pleasure in the fact that I did a good job up to that point and then throw it away. So God bless all of you, and God bless Nancy. Thank you.
Probably. We're recording it, so then you can have it for later.
Oh, it's Tristan and Jenna. Hi. I was going to read this poem for my mother. It's a beautiful poem. And thank you all for coming on behalf of my dear sister Terry and myself. Thank you for coming, everyone. because this is a celebration of her life. I am home in heaven, dear ones, oh so happy and so bright. There is perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All the pain and grief is over, every restless tossing past. I am now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. Did you wonder? I so calmly trod the valley of the shade. Oh, but Jesus' love illumined every dark and fearful glade. And he came himself to meet me in that way so hard to tread. And with Jesus' arm to lean on, could I have one doubt or dread? Then you must not grieve so sorely, for I love you dearly still. Try to look beyond earth's shadows. Pray to trust our Father's will. There is work still waiting for you, so you must not idly stand. Do it now while life remaineth. You shall rest in Jesus' land. When that work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, the rapture of that meeting. Oh, the joy to see you come. It's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
It's very nice.
Good job.
Well, memories of my mother. So many memories. God, where do I start? I just remember her as always being a very good mother, and I really appreciate she helped me so much just raising my own daughters, but I just really appreciate that. What would I have done without her? I'm going to miss her. I know my sister Terry's going to miss her. But until we meet again, Mom, love you.
My name is Mike Sloan, and I'm Wayne Mercure's best friend. We've known each other for 66 years. I met him when he was 9 years old. His dad used to have a little grocery store up the street from where we lived in East Alamosa. And I met Wayne in the store, and he and I were friends to this day. We still go out once in a month, every once in a while, to a little restaurant down the street and listen to our 60s music. And 50s music, which we really enjoy. But I want to tell the story about Nancy. I was sitting in my car in 1961 in the parking lot of Safeway stores. And Wayne drove up in his car, and he rolled down the window, and he says, Mike, I want you to come meet this babe that I'm dating. And I said, oh, Wayne, who is it? And he said, get in the car. I want to take you to show her. This gal is gorgeous. And you got to remember, we're from Alamosa, so we talk like that. So anyway, get in the car, and we drive all the way to Monta Vista, 17 miles away. And I said, what's her name? And he says, Nancy Weeger. And I says, oh, my God. That can't be Jimmy Weeger's daughter or sister. Could it be? Because Jimmy and I were competitors in sports, in football and baseball. And last time I saw Jimmy was when he was 18 years old, the last time he ever played football. And by the way, Monta Vista beat us that year. They didn't beat us. No, we actually beat Monta Vista the year before Jimmy beat us when I was a sophomore. And that's my recollection of Jimmy Weegers and the Weegers. So anyway, we drive up into Monta Vista, and we pull up in front of this house. And I said, my God, Wayne, I used to live in that house when I was in the first grade, because I went to school in Monta Vista in the first grade. And so Wayne says, oh, Mike, honest to God? I said, yeah. So he says, well, wait till you see her. So anyway, he goes up to the door, and he brings her back out and get in the car. And she was the most gorgeous woman I have ever met in my life. She was absolutely beautiful. And when he said babe, he wasn't mixing words. She was a babe. And so that's when I first met Nancy. And that night, I'll remember, we were in the car driving around, and she's funny and exciting and beautiful, and I'm in the back seat, and I'm thinking, that darn Wayne, boy, he stole one. But anyway, they ended up getting married, and we went to college at Adams State. And Wayne and I and my first wife, who was also from Monta Vista, used to get together, and most of the time over at Wayne's house when the kids were just growing up. And their daughters grew up with my kids, my first three kids. And so we got to know Wayne and Nancy really well. Nancy was a real spirit. She was funny, gorgeous. She was the focus of any. If she walked into this room when she was 18 years old, there wouldn't have been an eye that didn't focus on her. That's how gorgeous and pretty she was. Now, I hadn't seen Nancy for years and years and years. The last time I saw her was when the girls, Terry and her sister, were at Splashland Pool there in Alamosa, and they were all in swimming suits. And I'm not kidding you, they were all just gorgeous women. I mean, Wayne fathered good-looking girls. But I don't attribute that to Wayne, I attribute it to Nancy. Because Nancy was so pretty, and her daughters were that way as well. But anyway, I want you to know that Nancy, even though she struggled in life, just like all of us do, my wife has Alzheimer's, and she has a very difficult time, and so I understand how difficult it is sometimes to live a life here on this earth. But we all get through it, and what the pastor has said to you is very true. And so I want Wayne to know that the 66 years I've known him and the 57 years that I knew Nancy were very special to me, because they were very special people in my life. And I want to leave this with you, Wayne, and you always know how much of a friend I am with you, but anytime you ever need anything, in fact, the kids or anybody, I'm just a phone call away.
Thank you, that was awesome.
My name is John Wayne Mercure. I had the honor and the privilege to be married to Nancy for 20 years. I got to be real candid and truthful about this. It was the happiest 20 years of my life with Nancy and my two daughters. It was an honor and a privilege that I... It was wonderful. I can't say enough good things about her. I want to thank Brenda, my daughter, for helping Nancy through those last days. I want to help Andrea. I want to thank you so much because you were a big help. And Melissa Suzanne, my Sophia Loren, came all the way from Waco, Texas to be with us. And I see the Harvard Law School graduates. I'm so proud of her. Alicia Alexandra, you're my hero. And I see you have a gentleman with you, and I hear nothing but good about him. Both of them Harvard Law School graduates. Thank God for people like you. You're a role model for all of us. I want to thank Jim Widger for the days that he took care of Nancy and really helped her. I want to help Gloria to understand how much I am grateful for the way you treated Nancy. She always said good things about you, never a bad thing. And there's Michael, the attorney, Juris Doctorate. Thank you, sir. You're a big help. I owe you. I can't repay that debt, but I can acknowledge you. And Denise, who set up all the food in the back there, and Terry Lynn, who helped do it from Atlanta. She couldn't be here because her son is really, really sick. And her husband is really, really sick. And Michael, you're such a good speaker. Thank you for coming. Just think, he's been my friend for 65 years, and 65 years, 66. Ken Widger, my brother-in-law, he sent me this card, and I want to share it with you because he couldn't be here. He had a hip replacement surgery, and he's in bad shape in terms of recuperating, but he sent this card, "A Journey Remembered." As some people journey through life, they leave footprints wherever they go. Footprints of kindness and love, courage and compassion, humor and inspiration, joy and faith. Even when they're gone, Nancy, we can still look back and clearly see the trail they left behind. A trail bright with hope that invites us to follow. And he said this personal message in here, and the handwriting is great. "Dearest Dwayne, may God bless the passing of Nancy Lou and continue to bless you with the confidence of salvation. This life will end, but death is just a doorway we must all pass through with no fear." That's right. I don't fear it at all. I believe the promise. I believe paradise is there. And I think most of you will be there with us. I hope so. My prayers, a lot of you are in my prayers every night. "I love you, brother." Signed, Ken. And then Katie Jane, his lovely wife. "Dear Wayne, I'm so sorry for the loss of our dear Nancy. We all loved her so. God bless you. Love, Katie." I wanted to share that with you because he feels really bad about not being here. And he needs to have somebody recognize the fact that he's one of my heroes. A lot of people sitting out there right now, you're my heroes too. My hero when I was a little kid was William Shakespeare. He's still my hero. He wrote 39 plays. He wrote 154 sonnets. In his honor, I've written 1,206. And this sonnet I wrote in honor of Nancy Lou, sonnet number 188. There can be only one, Nancy Widger. "The first time I ever saw you, I was thunderstruck, mesmerized. The burst of promised paradise dancing before my enamored eyes. Snow white dress, lovely smile, gorgeous eyes above all others. To know instantly that you were the only one, never another. I've dated a lot of beautiful women, but those are other people's daughters. And if you don't love them, the only one I ever loved was Nancy Widger. That you would love me allowed me early entrance into Eden. True love enveloped me, entranced me, my angel from heaven. From the beginning of eternity, there can be only one true love. Some lucky lovers find that special someone created from above. To be accepted into a wonderful family that welcomed me lovingly. See family togetherness, tender, closeness expressed adoringly. To have the indescribable privilege of knowing your father dear, Captain James Leo Widger. Do other human beings know such great men when they appear? Your sweet mother helping us, loving us, embracing lonely me. For our times of struggle, the best mother-in-law she could be. So many family dinners, picnics, fishing excursions, idyllically. Knowing what happiness and family love was truly meant to be. Nancy, you are the mother of three spectacularly wonderful, lovely girls. True motherhood sparkled in your eyes, exalted Elysian worlds. You are my pride and my passion, my heart, and my eternal soulmate. Blue skies and cloudless golden sunshine, blissful ecstasy great. Love, the only thing above all other addictions God could invent. Beloved melody of your sweet voice, enchantingly heaven sent. Poets have written, to know true love even for one single day. They know it very well. True love endures. It's impossible to slay. Now my life slips rapidly before my eyes with advancing years. Somehow, dearest memories awaken anew, overwhelming any tears. The greatest honor of my precious life was to hold you tight, the test of time, to love only you with all of my soul's might. Nothing mattered but you, only you, always you, eternally you, dreaming of only you, beautiful you, my lovely queen, so true. Blessing me with paradise, heaven on earth, God bless you. There can be only one Nancy Widger." I was so lucky to know her, to have her as a wife, and she was a world champion mother. And I'll tell you one thing I got to tell all of you that you got to remember, you guys especially. Hey, she changed I changed. You can't go back. And I know one thing for certain. When your spouse stops loving you, you can't go back. You can't kill that kind of love. And you got to remember that. In The Days of Wine and Roses, it's a great movie. Lee Remick, a beautiful woman, she died too young. She said, in Denmark, we have a saying, Samani Himlen. I love that. Samani Himlen, together in heaven. I think all of us will be together in heaven. And I want to thank the pastor. You're a great speaker. You're very eloquent, and you put all this together, and I owe you. Thank you so much, sir. Fini.
God bless us, everyone.
I didn't have anything prepared to say, so I'm sorry if I'm kind of shaky. On behalf of my sisters and I, my mother, my family, we all appreciate, because she had a major role in the raising of us. For memories, I have a lot of memories. Many, many good memories with her, a few bad ones. If you guys know her, she was had a wild side. I got along with her real good. I remember we used to like just cruise in the car, and I could be open with her, honest about anything. She liked my music. She was fun to be around. You know, everybody was attracted to. She just had good stories to tell. Really friendly person, caring person, nice person. I'm going to miss her a lot. She would take me and my sisters swimming and make us the paint for the eggs for Easter and all kinds of things. Took us on adventures, anything to make me and my sisters happy. And she really did make us happy. I'll miss her a lot. I thank you guys for coming to appreciate her life. One of the hardest lessons I've had to learn, or it's the hardest lesson I had to learn, was that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But I find comfort in knowing that, some life is shorter for others than others, but all in all, life is short, and we'll be together again one day, so I'll be happy to see her.
Yeah, the Lord allots each one of us a number of days. And when we leave this earth, it's perfection. Because it was the perfect amount of time. And he's always perfect. That's hard for us, but perfect for him. Come on up, Mike.
Thank you. I was sitting here thinking about what I would say about Aunt Nancy. She really was the aunt that I was closest with. I was remembering as a young child, we lived in Colorado Springs, and we would get in the car and drive south to Pueblo and to Walsenburg and then west. And it just felt like it took forever, and we would go. And we did it all the time. And we would go. It felt like we went every week, and this is when I was probably 6, 7, 8, young, you know. And so time in the car seemed very slow to me, still does. But I remember, and I was just thinking back. In fact, I was talking to my daughter Adeline last night about Aunt Nancy, and just that it was sure worth the trip. She was a cool aunt. I remember we would go to Monta Vista, and then we would check in with Grandma. Both my grandmas lived there. And then we would go to Alamosa, and we would roll into Wayne and Nancy's house and pull in there and then go inside, and they'd have the Bob Seger on the record player, or the 8-track player, actually, back then. I remember your 8-tracks. And I remember the Pink Floyd, and I remember those music. And really, it's something that really stuck with me about Aunt Nancy, because I always loved the same kind of music that she loved. And even when I saw her 3 weeks ago, just a few days before she passed, I was there, and she was barely there. But she was there enough to communicate with me, and that was special, very, very special for me. But she had her phone, and the hospice had her phone next to her bed, and the Allman Brothers were playing. I just thought it was the coolest thing. She was a cool person. She was such a liver of life. I mean, she really was. Even as a young child, I could see that in her with her Trans Am, black Trans Am Firebird, and that was cool. I mean, that was, you know, I was hoping she might give me that car, Wayne would. That didn't happen. But she would take off in that thing and drive. She didn't fly anywhere, which I didn't. I just thought, well, you would. Why wouldn't you drive, right? You got a Trans Am. You drive to Florida. You drive wherever you. Everywhere she'd go, she'd just take off and go. And she was a free spirit in that way. And I always loved that part of her. And I had times when I saw her a lot, and I had times when I didn't see her for a while. I remember when I was going to school, in law school, actually, and walked out the front door, and then there she was. She was taking classes at ASU, and it was. I'll never forget just. Happened to run into her at that point. So she is a person that I love and will continue to love. I'm very grateful that she's out of the discomfort that she was in, because she sure was. So God bless everybody here. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for everything that you've done and what everybody's done to put this together. It's fantastic. It really is.
Good job. Lenore?
You can't. Remember yesterday in our phone call, I invested you with superpowers.
Is that what you were doing?
That's what I was doing.
I didn't realize that's what it was. Oh, wow. I don't know what to say. I guess what's been on my mind a lot this morning is Terry. And I know that this is being live streamed to her, and I'm so glad. Because I know her heartache about not being able to be here. And how much she has given to all of us in this family. So to Terry, I hope that you know how much you're appreciated, that everybody here in this family loves you and appreciates all that you've done and all that you've given. God bless you, love you. Nancy, free spirit. Yeah. I sometimes was envious of her because I was much more cautious in my life than she was. And her lack of cautiousness got her in trouble sometimes, but she lived her life. And she appreciated her life. And she had some drive in her that kept her always kind of moving on to the next thing. She loved deeply, very deeply. And I guess in my life, I was more cautious. She was more, hey, let's go, let's do it, let's do it. And I love that about her. We had a lot of good times. We had our rough times, and we just were sisters in that way. And Jim and I loved her and wanted to be there for her in any way that we possibly could. I don't know what to say. Loved her, loved her, loved her. And she was a trip. She was. She was a trip, and she was a good trip. So, anyway. Lots of memories.
Are you ready?
Thank you.
You can do it. We can help.
I still haven't come to terms with my grandmother's death, and I still can't really accept it. My grandmother was, for most of my life and my sister's lives, the only mother that we knew, and I know my mother tried. I love my mother for that, but my grandmother made up for where my mom couldn't, and she did the most amazing job anybody could have ever done. And the way she raised me, I raised my children. And I always think of my grandmother when I talk to my children and how I treat my children, because nobody in the world could have done better than her. And it's one of my biggest regrets that I didn't spend enough time with my grandmother in the past few years. And for a long time, I was mad at my grandmother. And I didn't really realize how short time really is. And I talked to her before she died, and I know she heard me, and I feel in my heart that she is in such a better place, and she is not in pain anymore. And she's over watching over every single one of us, and she'll always be with us. And one of the things that I remember most about my grandmother is whenever we were sick, no matter how much we were throwing up, no matter how much we were complaining, she stood by our side every single minute. Whenever I'd wake, she'd be there, rubbing my hair, taking care of me, and telling me it's going to get better. And I don't have her anymore, and I know none of us do. But she's still with us. And I don't even know how to explain it. I'm sorry.
Good job.
She was just a wonderful woman. My grandmother. My grandmother and my mother. To me and my sisters. And I don't know how to thank God for giving us such a wonderful woman in our lives. But she was such a wonderful woman.
There's only one way to describe what you just said. Love. It's the only way to describe it. And when you love somebody, there's the other pole too, right? Because that's how deeply we feel. The depth of what you communicated is amazing. And she'll always be with you because of the depth of the love that you have for her. And you'll pass her the love that she gave to you, you'll pass it on to the people in your lives. And that's amazing. You ready, Harvard? Counselor.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm sorry I came in jeans. I came straight from the airport here. I tried to make it as fast as I could. Dre called me a few weeks ago and said, you really need to get home because she's not doing too good. And I tried to be here, and I regret that I couldn't be here. But I think Melissa and Dre said it best. She was kind and sometimes I think there aren't that many kind people in this world, but she proved me wrong. She was a really kind person, and she was there for us when we needed her. Always. And so I regret not being able to be there and to be in Arizona, because I've been gone for a long time. But I know she's in a better place. And so I take comfort in that. But she was just a kind person, and the world is a little bit of a darker place. But I do take comfort that she's in a better place now.
Who's next?
One last story.
All right.
No.
I don't need that mic. When I first met Nancy, when Wayne took me up there to see this babe, we drove up in front of the house, and she'd come out of the house, and I told her, I said, there she was in the front seat, and I said, did you know, Nancy, you live in the same house I lived in the first grade? I said, which bedroom did you live in? And she, or go to, did you sleep in? And she says, oh, the one over the roof. And I says, oh, really? I said, that's the same one I lived in. So I used to kid Wayne that Nancy and I used to share the same bedroom.
That's awesome. All right, well, thank you for, oh. Oh, come on up.
Thank you. I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Callie. Sorry, I'm a little bit of a baby. I thought I could do this. Sorry. I didn't know Nancy for very long. Wow. Oh, okay. I was her caregiver for the last few months. And she grew to mean a... Wow, okay. She grew to mean a lot to me. And I know that she meant a lot to everyone here. And I know that she loved everyone here so much. She was so proud of you girls. She really was. And she was so grateful for the time that she got to spend with you guys. And help raising you. And I just want to say thank you to Brenda and Jim and Glenora for everything that you guys did. And for Terry, you're watching, I want to thank you as well. And I just know that she loved all of you so much. I don't know everyone here, but I know that I know some things about you guys. She loved to talk about all of you. I know some stories, and she dedicated her life to other people, and she was such an amazing person, and I'm so grateful that I got to know her. That her last trip to the hospital, she told me about now she, like, over time, she just lost some of her close friends. Like, she still had family, of course. And one day she asked me if I could be her best friend. And she was my best friend as well. And she just meant so much to me. And I know that you all meant so much to her. And it's just comforting to me to know that she isn't in pain anymore, because I know the last few months were hard for her. But she was so grateful for the life that she had, and so grateful that she had time to be able to do all that she did, including, like, raising you three girls and helping out her three great-grandchildren out of their situations, and just being able to spend time with all of you. And I didn't really imagine myself getting so connected with her when I first met her. But she slowly just showed me how much of an amazing person she was. And I will never be grateful enough for everything that she has taught me through her experiences and everything that she's shown me. And yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
So, just beautiful outpouring of love. Thank you. And I just want to say something to you. No regrets. No regrets. The unfortunate thing about us as human beings is we're not omnipresent. We can't be everywhere at the same time. And so what we'd like to be able to do is to be with all the people and all the places that we want to be, but we can't. We can only be at one place at a time. And so when you have to be at Harvard and live a standard that you show your family what's possible, that's an important task and an important expression of love for what your grandma poured into you. And, you know, if you were upset with her, I didn't get upset with my mom, but when she died, I was mad at her for 3 years. And it was, you know, expressing all the mad that I was all the times when she was alive that I just refused to do it. And so these are the things that really make us human. These are the things that make our lives so wonderful. I mean, we miss it sometimes. We miss how wonderful it is that we have people that we just don't like for a period of time. And then we have all the love that and the memories that we share. So thank you for just being real and sharing those things. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we're going to move on to part three, which is to see a 12 to 15-minute video that will show you some of the highlights of Nancy's life that Jim was kind enough to edit and kind enough to bring the equipment so that we could see it. And while we're doing that, we can also eat, so there's some good food in the back. So on your 10-minute break, scope that out. There are restrooms right around the building, so the ladies who are here will be happy to show you where they are. And so we'll see you back here in 10 minutes.
Life was formed in your hands. You alone tell my story. All my hours like sand, I surrender all. Through the battle I'll sing. Lord, I know you are for me. My whole heart I will bring. I surrender all. In you I find rest, I find rest in you. I find rest in you. I find rest. I find rest in you. I find rest in my deepest of fears. In my hours of weakness, from an ocean of tears, I surrender all. For your word is my sword, and your arms are my fortress. I know victory is yours. I surrender all. In you I find rest. I find I find rest Life was formed in your hands. You alone tell my story. All my hours like sand. I surrender all.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. Questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. To show.
Climb up, coming after the world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven.
And music down.
Every tear will be wiped away.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move to part three, which is the video. So grab some food, grab some drink, and let's gather around the TV.
If I get it right, I can get the camera.
That would be so cool. You just need to tell us so we keep people out of the way of the... Awesome. So grab some food, grab some drink, and gather around the TV, and we'll see some memories.
It's so amazing that now we can pull out a phone and do a broadcast quality video. It's unbelievable what you could do. It is. It really is. I know. Yeah, I was the manager of the Northwestern basketball team, and after the game I would take the film 20 miles to get it developed, wait 2 hours, and then drive it back to the coach's house and then sit up with him all night listening to him dissect. And now, I just went on a basketball trip with the kids, and they have a coach who does nothing but video. And so if you're guarding a particular player, he cuts all the segments of that player, every play up to that point in the season, and you can study what this player does. Yeah, and we're sitting on the bus or on the plane, and they're studying on their computer what this player is. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, they probably are. The game still is just about chucking the ball in the hole.
In heaven, in heaven.
There's Nancy. She loved her hair. And I like to show off. Why don't you watch this kick here? That's me and my little brother. There's the three of us. No Linda then. That's my dad on the tractor. There he is.
Well, that's just the field now.
No house there anymore. That's a cousin on the right. I don't remember who. My dad again. Now, Terry made CDs out of these. That's my Uncle Paul. I love that big piece of equipment there. The CDs that Terry had made of this include more than that is on here. I cut out some stuff to make it not quite so long, but I think that's my Uncle Paul again. I'm not sure. There's Kenny. Kenny got more of his share than I did here. So I cut out all his football pictures, so you'll see him on your CD. Because I wasn't in it. That's the three of us there. There's my dad finally. Miss that guy. Nancy and Kenny. Those are two of my favorite uncles. Ray and Leo. Remember Ray? Yeah. Leo was in Denver. A lot of fun when we got together. Kenny's a pretty good ball player for such a little kid. You know, he's got the right stance. There they are. Ray on the left and Leo on the right. Nancy on her bike. There's Mom. Okay, here's Nancy with her hairdo. That's another cousin there under the pile. Leo's son. There's Leo again. That's my Uncle Ray and... No, that's Mom and Dad. That's Mom. That's Leo and Nancy. That's Balm. Not wanting your picture taken. This is my grandmother. No. Mom's mom. Elizabeth, yeah. That's my Aunt Helen in the back there, Uncle Ray's wife. Not sure where that was. This is at Elitch's Park in Denver. That's my cousin Navri. I don't know why this was in here. That's my mom and Leo, Uncle Leo's wife, Edith. This is me torturing animals. I didn't really hurt them, but that's Uncle Ray. He's out on the farm with the pigs and the sheep. That's Nancy. That's me knocking her down. I'll never understand how she did this, but she got a sheep out of there, a lamb. My mom hated to have her picture taken. She hated movies. That's Uncle Ray. Again, Aunt Helen, my dad and Nancy. That's my granddad, my dad's dad, out on his farm. Don't have any pictures of him. That's his farm. There's the two of us again. What a guy. That guy liked to fish more than anything. There's Nancy again. All right, this is my grandma and grandpa, my mother's parents. Oh, he's had his pipe in his mouth. There's Uncle Kenny again. He's kind of switch around age time-wise. Why did I never fall in the water? I don't know. There's Nancy again. There's Kenny again. Thank you. Nancy and Kenny. You got younger there again. That's Linda, my sister Linda there. That's the only thing she's in, and you don't get much of her. That's Kenny, a little bit older. I was in college here. All right, this is at Alamosa at the end of a football game. Terry Lynn and Nancy, Mom and Dad. And that's all, folks. Yeah, they're new DVDs in the back. It's the whole thing here plus more that I cut out.
Rascal.
I said I cut out my brother because I was jealous of him.
Very good. Well, let's finish up then. I just want to say that I'm really grateful that I got a chance to celebrate with you, to celebrate her life. And from all the things that you said, I feel like I know her, and I know we would have gotten along. So I think it's really important to keep reflecting on those memories and to realize that grief is a very strange thing and it doesn't go in a predictable pattern. And there'll just be moments when you're just walking around and you'll just start crying. And just let that be okay, because it is okay. And maybe you don't cry, and that's because you hold emotions in, and that's okay too. I just want to share with you Psalm 23 as we close. It says, "The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me." Shepherd is always translated as a noun, but it's really a verb. The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. We have a God that knows that we are sheep, and he keeps on shepherding us. And as a result of that, we can't lack anything. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Notice that. He makes us lie down in green pastures, because that's what you have to do with sheep. Sometimes you just have to make them lay down. He leads us beside quiet waters, and water is for refreshment. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And the path of righteousness is the path of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And even though I walk through my very own death-shadowed valley, I cannot fear, you with me. Life is ups and downs. It's valleys and peaks. But when we're in the valley, the shadow covers us. Death is only a shadow. Death is only the transition into the next phase of our lives. And so our hope is that we see Nancy again in heaven when we make our transition there, and that we enjoy an eternal relationship with our God and with her forever and ever and ever. And that's an exciting thought. And let that be the thought that you take from here, that one day you'll feel that excitement again of seeing her. And one thing I know about heaven is that we'll have a resurrection body, and it is recognizable to family and friends. So we have that to look forward to. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, as we go forth mourning, grieving, comfort us. Give us your peace. And help us to remember all the amazing things that made us love Nancy. And let us pass on the spirit that she infused us with into every person that we meet, one person at a time.
And let us have no regrets for having a relationship with her, and let us not regret anything, any of the things that we did or didn't do, but just salute them as the normal course of life. God, you are the all-powerful one. You are the great healer. Heal this wound and give us the courage to stand and go forth in this life until that time when we meet you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for being here. Thank you. I appreciate it.